important piece, and this is Perek Asiri, Simchas Moed. Im Nirtzah Ladas, if a person wanted to know, he says, Simcha Shel Torah Mahi. That's an important formulation. He's going to define for us or discuss the insignificance, the importance of Simcha. On the other hand, he is not describing general Simcha. In other words, this is not a question of, you know, why is it important to be happy in your job? Why is it important, or how can you find happiness in your marriage or with your children? That's Simchas HaChaim. It's clearly going to be related, but he's asking something much more specific, which many, many great Ba'ali Machshava, going all the way back, if we have time, I'll even give you a quote from the Rambam, going at least as far back to the Rambam, and frankly, back to the Tochacha, to the Torah itself, speak about a specific form of Simcha, and that is the Simcha that is supposed to take place during our actual Avodas Hashem, during our mitzvos. Right, there are all sorts of people. I sometimes refer to them as taxpayer Jews. Right, we wouldn't chas v'shalom, wouldn't dawn on anyone to cheat on their taxes. But you don't enjoy doing it, right? It's like a pound of flesh to give away, and if we could find any legal way to do less, of course we would. So there are lots of people who look at their Judaism that way. They're going to do the mitzvahs, but they look forward to it as much as paying their taxes. And if a good accountant will tell them that this is a kosher way not to, they'd be more than happy. Right, that's the accounting version of Rabbi. Is there a different shita? Is there somebody say it's mutter? Right? So that's a mentality. Am I looking to do as little as possible? I'll do my obligations. So that's one mentality. The alternative, which of course is what we're all hoping to aspire to, is what he calls Simcha Shel Mitzvah. Says Rav Volbi, rather than me tell you my own opinion, I'm going to give you the words of somebody much better. Hava nishal ed Rabbeinu Yehuda Halevi Zal. Mimenu nomad ketzad lismoch mehechag. So the specific context is going to be Yomim Tovim, but as you'll see, it's barely about Yomim Tovim specifically, and it's more broadly about Simcha in our Yiddishkeit. And he's quoting here from an incredible passage, as you shall see in a moment, from the Sefer HaKuzari, as you probably are familiar, one of the cornerstones of Machshevet Yisrael, of Jewish philosophy, one of the great Rishonim. He was also an incredible poet and a pietist, an incredible, incredible person. And in many, many kind of philosophical contexts, when I did my undergrad and then my master's in Jewish philosophy, so in many contexts, not all, but there's often a distinction between the, let's say, more rationalist approach of the Rambam and something that you might call, for lack of a better term, a more emotional or spiritual approach, sometimes Rabbi Yehuda Halevi. But in this particular question of Simcha Shel Mitzvah, it struck me when I was looking at the piece last night that, in fact, not only is this an astounding formulation, I think you can agree with me at how powerful this is, but in fact, I think it actually, as far as I could tell, is completely in consistency and corresponding to things that the Rambam says as well. So let's take a look. Klolo Shel Davar, says the Kuzari. And again, really, every phrase here is awesome. Ki Toraseinu Nechaleket Ben Hayira, on the one hand, via Ahava of Hasimcha. Broadly speaking, it says the Kuzari, all of Yiddishkeit takes one of two forms. Either it's serving Hashem through Yira, like the passage we're skipping today, Yom L'Raim, Tshuva, serious, somber, you know, maybe lots of shuckling, you know, you can imagine anything you want to envision in your mind's eye. And on the other hand, Ahava and Simcha. There's a whole other dimension of Yiddishkeit. Happiness, celebration. Says Rav Yehuda Halevi, Titzkarev el Elokecha b'chol achas me'ela. You should know that each one of these is not only legitimate, but necessary ways of getting close to Hashem. And what he's implying in that formulation, we don't have to guess, even though I think we could. It's tantalizing even if we would stop there. But the next line to me, I would highlight this five times. Ein kniyascha b'imei hatainis, yoser krov el elokim, mesimchascha b'imei hashabasos v'mo ha'adim. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And I think it totally goes against the way most of us are instinctively hardwired. Says Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, there is nothing more spiritually superior to your hachana, is like humbling or subjugating yourself, your piety, your, you know, self-negation on a fast day, than your celebration and your happiness on a yontif. I think most of us instinctively are hardwired to think of those yira moments as more authentically religious. That's when I'm being frum. I happen to really enjoy mitzvah X or Y. I really love being together with my kids and grandkids for Pesach. I almost feel like, you know, it's also a mitzvah. But, you know, it's just amazing. I love it. It's a complete mistake, says Yehuda Levi. It's a mistake. The simcha shel mitzvah is no less important and no less legitimate than what is sometimes necessary. He's not talking about all or nothing. There's different times and different places for different emotions. But there's nothing superior about the yira and the shuckling and the dread and the crying and all sorts of sincere things. I'm not talking about people who are posing. Sincere, religious emotion, yira sachay, yira shamayim. Amazing. And that is on par with, but not superior to, simcha shal mitzvah. And of course he adds in the end of the line an important caveat, kishetiyah simchascha bekavana v'leiv shalem, which he'll get back to at the end, Rav Obi will, when he's addressing this. He's talking about genuine, authentic simcha shal mitzvah. He's not talking about simcha that you have just because you went out with your friends on New Year's Eve and you're partying somewhere. Oh, you see, I feel close to God this way. That's obviously not what he's talking about, says Rav Yehuda Levi. But if it's simcha bekavana v'leiv shalem, but you're genuinely happy and excited, that is just as authentic and necessary and important and deserving of praise as the yira on Yom Kippur. Ukamosha tachanunim. Now that's already awesome, because I don't think that's how people think. But now he adds a second incredibly important point. Ukamosha tachanunim tzrichim machshava v'kavana, kein hasimcha b'mitzvaso b'toraso tzrichim machshava v'kavana. Right? Again, it sounds obvious, but I don't think we often think these terms. We all get it, that it takes a lot of hard work. Especially, I would add, in the modern era. It takes a lot of hard work to really arouse within us genuine feelings of yira and pachad and that form of avodas Hashem, right? You need a month of Elul to hopefully get to a great Rosh Hashanah and Aseres Meitshuva, to hopefully get to a great Yom Kippur and a tremendous Shacharis Musaf and Mincha in order to get to hopefully a great Ne'ilah. It doesn't come naturally to us. Maybe 10% of the people, maybe. And it could be, I suspect in other times in history where people just genuinely had it harder, it might also have been naturally a little bit easier. But in our day and age, where we are all holding, you know, in our pocket a computer more powerful than what they used to get to the moon, we're living in an age where it's very hard to live with yira v'fachad. So we get it, that if that's a dimension of avodas Hashem, that takes work. Says Rav Yehuda Levi, in the same level, just like it takes work to have genuine, authentic yira shamayim and when appropriate and when necessary to serve Hashem from that perspective, it's actually hard work to be happy. People think that the default should be I'm happy, and if I had a bad day at work, or I got into a fight with my wife, or my kids got in trouble in school, or Nebuchadnezzar, I heard something bad about one of my grandkids, so now I'm in a bad mood. It's a mistake. He's not saying you should be hardwired to be sad. He didn't say that either. He's saying it takes hard work to have authentic Yira Shamayim. It's hard work to have authentic Simcha. Again, you heard something nice, your sports team won, so you have a little glimmer of happiness. That's, we're talking about something much more authentic, much more substantive, much more real. It's not easy being happy. Genuine Simcha Shal Mitzvah takes avoda, says Rabbi Yehuda Levi. Machshava, kavana, deliberate, forethought. Shetisbach b'mitzvah atzma me'avascha ha'mitzvah ba. To genuinely enjoy, to find the happiness, the beauty in the mitzvah, you have to think about it. That's deliberate. That doesn't happen by accident. V'takir, says Rabbi Yehuda Levi, a person should be cognizant of Masha heitiv l'chaba, what favor, what gift Hashem has given us. And how should we feel? Ki'ilu ataba ba'ach sanito. We are, so to speak, visiting. We're at Hashem's table. We're in His house. Karu el shulchano v'tavo. He's invited us in. Sit at my table. Enjoy my company. V'todal zed, if we can genuinely feel that, and clearly that does not happen for most of us instinctively and easily, we have to work at that. But if we could feel that each time we did a mitzvah, each time we had an experience of avodas Hashem, no doubt v'toda al zeh b'matzpon u'begalui, we'd be thrilled and appreciative of this, both in the privacy of our heart and when appropriate in more public fashions. V'im tabor b'cha ha'simcha el ha'nigun v'harikud, and this is for the Karbachians and other neo-Hasidists among us. Im tavor b'cha ha'simcha el ha'nigun, and if you have that simcha and it spills over, it bubbles up into singing and dance, you should know, hi avoda, b'davka b'inyan eloki. that is no less than the crying on Ni'ilah. Again, if it's authentic, which is what Revolbi, the Alei Shor, is going to elaborate on. So, Ad Kan, the Devarim HaKadoshim Shrav Yehuda Levi, one of the great Rishonim, unbelievable. Again, it could have been written now by an incisive spiritual and psychological thinker. Unbelievable. Because, and the reason I say that, which I think I often mention in general, but specifically in these contexts, is because I think it's clear in my own experience, but it's clear from Torah sources, right, that human nature is, I wouldn't say immutable, but very consistent. And what was true in the time of Yehuda Levi, with all the differences in technology and culture and et cetera, and finances, is, you know, more or less true. And everything he said, the importance of Simcha, but the fact that it's hard, it doesn't come easy, we have to work at it, I think it's obviously just as true now. So let's, again, we could just stop here because Dayenu, because Rabbi Yehuda Levi's words stand on their own, but in three short paragraphs, Revolbi is going to elaborate on them, and I think it's worth it to just see the quick points that he says. So first of all, if you would just skip to the second line of the next paragraph. We'll skip a little bit just for the sake of time, because Revolbi is very poetic in this piece. We don't need to see all of that. So he points out that Rabbi Yehuda Levi, who had, you know, was famous for his poetry, for his writing, you know, he takes, so to speak, his beautiful pen, and with great words of that are nehalavim v'niskavim, with great enthusiasm and sublimity, says Revolbi, what did Yehuda Levi do? End of the second line. He taught us that hayira b'fnei pachad hadar ga'on elokeinu, the genuine fear and dread and amazement at the awesomeness and the might and the scary power of God is just as legitimate as Avas Tzelem Elokim El Aviv Sheba Shamayim. Complete different emotion. A feeling of genuine love when we realize that Hashem is just like our Father. Simchas HaMitzvah B'Mitzvahs Malko Zuhi Kol Torah Kula. It's these two, I wouldn't say they're opposites, but they're certainly not the same. These two different emotions and ways of experiencing Hashem and the world and Yiddishkeit. That's it. Everything fits into one of those two boxes. Besimcha, bahit karvut lidei bitoy galui, vada'ut halev emunato mitkaleh besimcha. Amazing insight. Says Revolbi, when you have genuine simcha and mitzvah, I would say simcha in life too, but definitely simcha and mitzvah, when does it come to full fruition, to full expression? When a person has rock, solid, hard, strong emunah. A person, right, the more you doubt the path you're taking, this is true about anything in life, the more anxiety ridden you are. I'm not sure should I take that job. I'm not sure I should marry that girl. I'm not sure, all sorts of things, right? Walking around with that cloud over your head is very difficult, right? Chazal tell us, ein simcha, katar sasvekos, right? Once you're sure, right? So he's saying something parallel, that the greatest form of simcha, where it will just naturally, you know, effervesce and express itself, is when a person has that, what he calls, vada'ut halev be'emunasa. You know you're doing the right thing, you know you're on the right path. And as a result, hanigun, v'harikud, avodahem, says Revolbi. Again, he's echoing what we already saw. That yes, again, and Revolbi is not Rav Moshe Weinberger. Right? He's not a neo-chassid. Revolbi was a classic litvish mashgiach, the greatest of his generation. But you should know, he says, there's a time, and it's totally legitimate. Nigun, simcha, beautiful singing, and yes, even times rikud, dancing. Avodahein, which I would translate, you know, on two levels. It's a double entendre. It is avoda in the sense that it's genuine, authentic religious service, but it also takes work. It also takes work. Bechinos shel devekos belkei Israel. To genuinely sing and be happy and dance with Hashem, just like the crying at a ne'ilah, that is genuine devekos in Hashem. Now, he points out, and I think this is obviously very, very relevant, you know, just as a foil, kamarachuk musag zeshel simcha rikud v'nigun, how different and how distant is what we're describing as authentic religious happiness and celebration from the bilui ha-pashut v'harek, asher mechinim oso hayom b'shem simcha, from the simplistic and empty pastimes, which in today's society people call, quote-unquote, happiness. We have to be so careful, says Revolbi. We live in a culture in which, even in the most charedi of worlds, let alone those of us who are not in that world, it is impossible to cut off the influences we get from the outside world. And if we're bombarded 24/7 in the outside world with certain models of what means to be a happy life, right? Classic, pina colada, on the beach, and I'm not going to be marich more than that, which is apparently every dream of every Western male, at least, if not human being. So how empty is that? Says Rav Obi, it's only natural. We have to be on guard that subtly that image and that goal of life does not creep into our Yiddishkeit. God forbid, he says, whether it's on Simchas Torah or Shavuos, I can't for the life of me understand why he didn't add Purim, but I'll add it, or Purim, God forbid we infect, we bring that secularized view of Simcha in this, oh, you see, I'm supposed to be happy on Yom Tov, so be happy on Shabbos. So if happy in the secular world means getting smashed and drinking, so you know there's such a thing called the Shabbos alcoholic. Our Jews, more in our generation than probably ever before, we're not alcoholics in the sense that they are drinking all the time. They can control themselves 6 days a week. Comes Shabbos meal, and the wives have to help them from the table. It's a phenomenon. It's an extreme example. I'm just giving you one example. That is an example of what he's describing. They took something that is viewed in the outside world as, oh, that's the apex. That's what... And they say, they tell themselves, oh, I'm doing it for Shabbos. Isn't it a mitzvah of l'chaim? Oneg Shabbos, Simcha Shabbos. So whether it's Simchas Torah or Purim or Shabbos, and I'm not trying to pick on alcohol. He's not even describing alcohol. There's a million other subtle examples where we take something that could be so kadosh and we hollow it out. We make it vacuous of meaning. Hargashas chazaka shal kirvas Hashem. End of the paragraph. Haysamit oreret toch shir umachol. The simcha that we're describing is not just that you're happy, but it should give rise to a feeling of closeness to Hashem, of inspiration. Shifa l'ruchaniyut l'tarat alev haysanot tzert pososha. And again, I hope that you've all experienced this at some points. I can think of many examples. I don't have to go back to my yeshiva days. Thank God in this shul and in many other adult experiences I've had. But certainly, certainly, certainly I remember from my yeshiva days, right, an incredible shalashudis, an incredible tish, simchas Torah, Purim in yeshiva. I remember, I'm happy to say, Zarcha Latov, yeshiva shalavim, Rabbi Ari Waxman. I was one of the first guys when he was madrich. Purim suda at his house, which was labedik, and there was alcohol. Labedik, it was as inspiring religiously as Yom Kippur had been a few months earlier. It was incredible. It was incredible. And that's exactly what Rav Obi is saying. When done right. If you genuinely... Dancing... You know, again, if you're in a Simchas Mesa Shaweva, Simchas Torah, okay, or it could be on a regular, Simchas... Anything. Right? If when done right, your feet are a little bit off the ground. You feel it. Again, it doesn't last forever. That's a different part of... That's a different challenge. That's a different sheer. How to hold on to these things or how to come back to them. But in the moment... It's energizing and you feel, that's not the emptiness that the rest of the world unfortunately has. And often people do bring into their Yiddishkeit. He concludes, we'll end with this. Ma no'alu ha-na'arim ha-machakim le-simcha kilu huzman shel porkan u-bidud. How nebuch, how foolish, how silly sometimes are our youth. And as I've added more than once in this context, there are many adults who are just teenagers with gray hair. Right, there are many people who have emotionally not graduated high school yet. But it is a characteristic of being a teenager, a characteristic of being adolescent, a characteristic of high school, whether you're still there or not, is how foolish are people when they're just looking forward to that quote-unquote happy time of their life, whether it's retirement or this or that, which is in the end they think is just going to be empty entertainment. But here's the last part, which is so important, why I wanted to do this last paragraph. He goes to both extremes. It's an eish zara. They brought in a foreign fire. This is not Yiddishkeit, these images that they have. It's an Eish Zara. It's a foreign fire. Shel Romantika. They've taken this Western romantic, the capital R. It doesn't just mean in terms of your wife. It means the romantic sense, the Western sense of happiness and celebration. Or on the opposite extreme, hope I'm pronouncing this correct, Artilaut. I had to look that up in case anyone's Hebrew is better than mine. Asceticism. Asceticism. I think I got that right. I think that's correct. Is that right, Simcha?
In English, I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, I think that means... Either way, I think what he's trying to say is in both extremes, even though most of this chapter has all been about the Simcha part. But they go to either extreme, the Romantika Chavshit, or Artikiliut, or whatever that word is, Reka,
Heimach...
I can't hear you. I'm sorry, Yehuda.
Gar Artila usually means like a naked person. Empty, naked.
Okay, so maybe it wasn't the ascetic part. Okay, fine. So maybe it's not the other extreme then. Okay, good. Thank you, Yuda. So either way, they're bringing this, again, what they think is a model of something. You bring it into Yiddishkeit Nebuch, it's empty, and they bring it to Echel Hashem. Tzlilei harei kanud heim machlifim b'simcha shel emes, Rados Kodesh. The sounds of emptiness they exchange for what could be genuine simcha and Haros HaKodesh, the genuine awe of being in the presence of Hashem. El simcha, here he concludes, yeshel hitkonein b'diyuk kemo avoda gadola. This is, again, he's repeating this, but it's so important because it's so not obvious to people. You have to work hard, prepare, in order to be able to worship Hashem b'simcha. Hituna kavana umachshava b'diyuk kamo tefila b'tzom. Just like you know, you got to have a game plan. You're about to go to a big case, a big business meeting, a big date, a big anything. People plan. They have a game plan, and we know no one just happens to have an uplifting spiritual fast day, right? If you just go through the fast day without doing any real thought, you will hopefully survive the fast day, but you will not thrive religiously in the fast day. And I speak from personal experience. With many meaningless fast days under my own belt. And obviously we all know tefillah, how challenging that is, right? If you don't bring the proper mindset to tefillah, I'm not even discussing people who talk the whole time. I'm talking about even people who just go through the motions but don't mean it. It takes work. That, I think, at least is obvious to us. The chiddush of this piece is to worship Hashem with simcha is A, just as important. It's not any less religious. But number two is it's also just as hard. Good job, us.
Oh, yeah.